Blog Talk Radio.
How you got them jeans? If I was down, would you say things to make me smile? I treat you how you want to be treated, just teach me how. If I was with some other chick and someone happened to see, and when you asked me about it, I said it wasn't me. Would you believe me or up and leave me? How deep is our bond if that's all it takes for you to be gone? We only humans, girl, we make mistakes. To make it up, I do whatever it takes. I love you like a fat kid love cake. You know my style, I say anything to make you smile.
Think you'd love me now? Would you love me if I was down and out? Would you still have love for me, girl? You think you'd love me now? Would you love me if I was down and out? Would you still have love to follow me in a bird? Could you love me on a fun? I like 21 questions, and they all about.
The following internet radio show. It's for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Are you tired of many of your girlfriends, coworkers, former high school and or college classmates, and other assorted female acquaintances gloating about their recent marriage proposals and proudly showing off their nice, new, shiny engagement rings? Does such a scenario leave you feeling disappointed, frustrated, or envious? Are you ready for your romantic moment of glory? My guest for the evening sympathizes with your desire to find the right partner to spend the rest of your adult life with. He is a well-known psychologist in the Atlanta area, and in recent years, he has seen his notoriety and popularity as a highly sought-after relationship coach skyrocket. My guest tonight has outlined some key principles, tips, and philosophies that he feels will help any woman become irresistible to men and ultimately get them to drop to one knee and propose marriage and commit themselves to a life of eternal bliss. Who is this gentleman who gives many women all across the country the enthusiastic hope that one day soon their knight in shining armor will come to them and sweep them off of their feet? His name is Dr. Alduin Tart, and tonight Dr. Tart is going to highlight some of his tried and true concepts as he chooses to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this me? Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame. Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, mode one. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode one, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Wind needs to look in my direction. I caught it in my hands today. I finally made a trick, it's my connection. You're winking, gave me your okay. I'll take you on a trip beside the ocean and drop the top of Chesapeake Bay. Ain't nothing like a Chattanooga potion. The moon will send you on your way tonight. Feels right.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, October 29th. And tonight, my guest and I are on a mission. We're on a mission to help a number of single women find themselves a husband. That's right. There are too many single, unattached women in society today, and particularly in the African-American community, and this show is dedicated to helping a woman find her life partner. But first, let me tell you about a few upcoming shows. Next week, I will have a celebrity guest for the second time on my show. That's right. This will be his second appearance on my show. That is the extra intelligent and charming Hill Harper, who stars on the CBS drama CSI New York and is the author of three books, including his latest New York Times bestselling entry, The Conversation, How Black Men and Women Can Build Loving, Trusting Relationships. I will offer more details about this interview on my Facebook page and on my Blog Talk Radio page because it's going to be tricky next week. It's not going to be at my normal time. It's like a portion of the interview is going to be live. Another portion is going to be pre-recorded. So I'll keep you posted with details both on my Facebook, if you're a Facebook friend of mine, or on my Blog Talk Radio page. But I want as many people to call in and have their questions ready. Hopefully you have a copy of this book, The Conversation, and Hill Harper next week. Next week. We're working with his schedule. He has a very unpredictable, busy schedule, but we're working with it, and that should be a great interview. Also coming up the remainder of November will be an author by the name of Derek Watkins, author of Why Good Girls Love Bad Boys. We've heard that most of our life. You know, good girls, they like the bad boys, the boys with the edge, the boys that had that dangerous air about them. Well, I got an author that's going to talk about that concept. And in the week following that interview, I'm going to have a woman who simply goes by the name Marnie. She will be joining me to offer advice to men on how to use what she refers to as the wing girl method. Do you know what a wingman is? There's such thing as a wing girl. I've used both. A wingman is basically someone who accompanies you to like a
party, nightclub, social event, and they kind of like sing your praises. Kind of like the dating and relationships equivalent to a PR person. That's what a wingman is. Or if you're attracted to a woman and she got this like really unattractive friend that you got to do a double date with, your wingman steps up to the plate and goes out with the woman with three eyes and two teeth. And then wing girl is the same thing. So I'm going to have Marnie. She's going to talk about the wing girl method on my show. As I always do, I give love to those in my chat room. I got my loyal good friend, Adrian, alias Diva362636. I mean, does she ever miss a show? Her and Hyper are probably two of my most loyal listeners, along with my cousin, Christopher Curry, Hype Style, in the chat room. I got Miss Lynn Rena in the chat room. I got my boy Glendon in the chat room. I got Cruiser 2 in the chat room. I got Choco Divine in the chat room. I got a number of guests, people floating in and out of the chat room. Yes, much love to my chat room users. Other shout-outs would be, today is my sweetheart's birthday, the lovely and talented Tyler Collins. Happy birthday, baby. It's her birthday. Woman who's beautiful inside and out. It's her birthday today. I hope she's having an enjoyable day. My brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry, my cousin, J.P. Jones in Chicago, cousin After Bar in Maplewood, New Jersey, Philip Pulliam and his older brother, Irvin V. Pulliam, the third, EVP3. I got Nohad, a.k.a. Metal Hayes. I always give a shout-out to Vanessa Turner, Sylvia Mann, Shay Wright, Alita Sanders. Kathy Holloway Hill is a fellow Blog Talk Radio host. Will Wavy, Chad Hunter, all of my fellow Blog Talk Radio colleagues, as well as my Facebook buddies. I love all of them. This is the final week to pick up. What's up, Miss Colleen? I see you in the chat room. And Venom, Hood Hard, I see you in the chat room. CDSIMO. I don't know how to pronounce that. CDSIMO. I see you in the chat room. Glad to have you. Much love to you. Yeah, this is the last week to pick up the October 2009 edition of Black Enterprise Magazine. Black Enterprise Magazine, and I'm on page 43. The top half of page 43 is where you'll find an article about online radio shows, and they featured me and my show. That's right. They featured Upfront and Straightforward, Alan Roger Curry, and this month's Black Enterprise. And so I'm happy about that. What else is going on? Well, you know, one season is starting and another season is ending. The NBA season just got underway. I know Diva's happy about that. Diva 362636 is the most sports-oriented female I've ever met in my life, like ever. She knows what a crossover dribble is. And so, yeah, she's happy that the NBA season has started. Now, to my surprise, speaking of Adrian, who lives in Ohio, Cleveland is like 0-2. What's up with that? LeBron James, now you got Shaquille O'Neal on the team with him, and he's like, they like 0-2? What is that about? And the Major League Baseball season is coming to an end. That's right. We're down to the World Series. World Series is between, it's an East Coast thing. It's Philadelphia Phillies, New York Yankees. Phillies took game one. Right now, I believe the Yankees are leading in game two, like 2-1. And so we'll see if the Yankees can tie that series up or if Philly's going to go up 2-0. Did you hear this disturbing story? I'm not going to go into too much detail about it, but this is just a sad state of our country. There was a 15-year-old girl who was gang raped for 2 hours by a number of guys, I think anywhere from 19 to 22. 2 hours, they gang raped this woman, and people were around her just watching. Talk to me. What's that about? I don't get that. That disturbs me on all sorts of levels. That's more than just lack of home training. That's leaning towards just pure evil right there. Gang raping a 50-year-old girl and other people just watching like it's a spectator sport. That's extremely disturbing. What also disturbed me, I've always heard that coyotes never mess with humans. They only mess with other animals. But a folk singer got killed, attacked and killed by a group of coyotes. I remember when I lived in Los Angeles, I ran across a couple of coyotes. I just would be like, hey, what's up? And then I'd be on my way. I didn't want to, you know, mess around with them. But, yeah, coyotes attacked folk singer. I don't have a folk singer's name in front of me, but that's a sad story. But on the more positive things related to the show, my show is about dating relationships. Ivanka Trump, Donald Trump's daughter, got married. She finally got married. Like somebody was not going to put a ring on her finger because she got all that cash. No, I'm not saying that the groom just married her for money. But hey, it don't hurt. Guess who's giving love and dating advice? The First Lady. She's going to be featured in Glamour magazine, our First Lady. That's right, Michelle Obama. She makes the comment in the article that cute gets old. You can't keep a man just by being cute. And she says to women, don't pursue men just by their titles or status or whatever. Pursue them for who they really are at their core. I like that advice. Speaking of advice, she probably followed the advice of my guest tonight. And I'm going to introduce him in a second right after this quick intermission break. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back with my guest for the evening.
Hey, I'm Dangerously, and you may have read my short story, To Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com, and remember, keep it dangerous.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Scores Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310-310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives,
love lines, and or sex lines. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. My guest for the evening is licensed as a positive psychologist in Georgia. He has successfully worked with more than 500 clients in Georgia, California, Michigan, and other states across the country. He's a graduate of Morehouse College. I got two cousins graduating from Morehouse, and also the University of Michigan, where he's one of the youngest African Americans to receive his PhD in clinical psychology. He's a gifted motivational speaker. He's also skilled at finding spiritual gifts in others, helping them cultivate and share them with the world. He can help you quickly transform your vision into reality. Thinking backwards, he sees success first and encourages you to live what is already destined. My guest this evening notes that his greatest challenge is not finding greatness in others, is getting them to see it for themselves. He is a devoted father, community servant, and humanitarian. He currently serves on the board of directors for the 100 Black Men of DeKalb and previously served as vice president on the board of directors for Forever Family. He's also an associate member of the National Speakers Association of Georgia and I'm very familiar with Toastmasters International. That's right, that helps you with public speaking. He is a contributing columnist for BLEST, that's acronym BLEST, Breathing, Living, Embracing Successful Transitions, Your Black World, Poetic Life. He contributes on this network, Blog Talk Radio Network. I can go on and on, but he is the author of The Ring Formula. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight, The Ring Formula, How to Meet Mr. Right. Listeners, on behalf of Upfront and Straightforward and the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network, give it up for Dr. Alduin Tart. What is up, my brother?
Hey, man, I'm ready to tell these ladies how they can become irresistible to us. I'm ready to tell it all. I'm going to tell them the truth. They're ready for answers. They better tune in because I'm ready.
That's what I want to hear, Dr. Tart. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, before I start asking questions, listeners, tell you the number. I usually wait a while before I give out that number, but it is 646-478-5710. Now, you know, Dr. Tart, you know what kind of response I've been getting already.
I'm ready to get people hooked up for the holidays, man.
You know what the women been sending me emails about. They forget these other men out here. They want you to put a ring on their finger. I done got about 25 emails. Women say, is he single? Because he's handsome, and I'm going to hook up with him. So I got to ask you, for my female listeners, is Dr. Tart single and available, or is he snatched off the market?
I'm not officially snatched, but I'm going to tell you this. There was a young lady that read the book and stepped to me strong, so I am reciprocating.
Oh, shoot.
I'll keep it real. She's coming hard. So I was like, okay, all right, let me see where you're coming from.
I ain't mad at you, brother. Okay. Okay, well, I know some women just got their hearts broken. I'm sorry, female listeners. Hey, you know.
Their hearts don't have to be broken because I'm here to tell them that there are lots of eligible brothers out there who are ready to date towards marriage. We just don't talk about it. I'm here to unmask the truth.
Okay.
We are all over the place. They have to change their perspective, change the way they date us, and regain the power. And they're going to be hugged up for Thanksgiving and Christmas. They don't have to worry about me.
All right. I like to hear that. Well, before I get into the heart of the book, I want to just first ask you,
What attracted you, say, I don't know, around high school or so, what attracted you to the field of psychology and later dating and relationships?
One, I think it was, I know it was a calling. As a young man, I always was in the middle of people's business, always trying to help people out, always had a vibe for how people felt. And so I naturally went into psychology because I always wanted to save the world. When I was younger, I wanted to be an Indian chief because I got tired of the Cowboys beating up on the Indians. That's just kind of how I was as a child. And I've never changed. And I actually got into relationships because as a psychologist, I kept seeing a number of families come in because I see mostly children, and the moms would come in without dad. And so I eventually started asking them about their relationships. And, Alan, they were getting some of the worst dating advice I have ever heard in my entire life. And it became obvious to me that we need to have a conversation between men and women and that the advice that I gave them actually started to work because, you know, Alan, we understand what men really need.
Mm-hmm.
We know what we need, and a lot of women think they know, but once I was finished talking to them, they were able to enter into relationships. So I figured, okay, that's God's way of telling me to put more out there, and so I wrote the book because I wanted something positive. I got tired of reading about the negativity about we're gay, we're players, we don't want to settle down, we're afraid of monogamy, we're serial daters, we want to date outside of our race. I got tired of hearing all those negative facts that just didn't represent me and a large percentage of brothers whose voice was not heard. And I said, the main thing that men are waiting for is a woman to step to him correctly and date him in a manner that makes him feel like, okay, this is the one. And I realized that information was not out there and that once women are onto that information, then we all can be happy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, since you just touched on it, I'm going to ask you, and a lot of my show deals with just, you know, single women and single men trying to hook up in general. But, of course, given that I'm African-American, I like to touch on the African-American community. And one thing I've noticed, and you kind of hinted at it, is that there seems to be a lot of animosity between single brothers and single sisters. What do you think are some of the factors, and I know you probably just mentioned one or two, but what is contributing to this animosity between single black men and single black women that's keeping them from coming together and forming relationships?
All right, well, one, I think that we don't really understand one another very well. And when we get together, I'll give you a good example. A lot of women that don't understand men, okay, and understand that we need our egos stroked. We need to feel in charge. We need to feel empowered. We need to feel like we're the leader in the relationship. And I think that there are a lot of women that take that as an offense. That means that we want the woman to be subservient, or we need someone to play mind games, or we need, you know, someone to be our mama. They don't really understand, hey, this is what we need as a man. And if they try to emasculate our power, or they try to come in and take over, that's where conflict happens. We're just looking for someone to upgrade us, but at the same time stroke our ego and realize, hey, this is what we need, and we have no problem, you know, stroking their ego back. Mm-hmm. So I think the main thing is that they just do not understand what we are really looking for, and I think as men, we don't really understand what women are looking for, and you get into relationships, and sometimes you can feel used, hurt, you know, and so you build up animosity.
Okay. Now, why are these women? I take it you believe this is a fallacy that when women say, I hear a number of women, I'm sure you do too, say, there are no good men out here. All men are dogs. And where does this come from? Is that just out of their frustration? First of all, is there any validity to that statement that there are no good men out here?
Depends on who's, it depends on what you state. Your perception is your reality.
Mm-hmm.
So for a woman, if I talk to her and I say, listen, she says all men are dogs, they're no good men out there, they're all players, I don't even argue with her, you know, because that's who she wants to see. And if I ask her, that's been her reality. She's dated, you know, man after man that has dogged her out. But what she does not see is that it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Men can sense confidence. Men can sense a woman that has her stuff together a mile away the same way women can. And if they sense that a woman is has a lot of animosity towards a man, a woman doesn't have a lot of confidence to feel she can attract a good man, the good men are not going to even introduce themselves to her. Am I right or wrong?
Right.
Yeah, we don't even approach them. We see it a mile away. She's angry, she's upset, and never approach. So in their world, they don't see good guys. And here's the thing that's really damaging, and, you know, I have a lot of compassion for people, is that when I finally sit down and talk to them, I'm saying, listen, when you meet a good guy, you're so focused on remaining safe that you actually look at a guy that's a good guy, and you are waiting on him to dog you out.
Wow.
So you look at him and say, you know what, Alan seems like a good guy, but let me find, I guarantee you, in 3 months he's going to show his true colors. So as a man, we take offense to that and saying, wow, you know, I am a great guy. Why do I have to consistently prove myself? Why do I have to consistently check in when I haven't done anything wrong? And then you say, look, she has insecurity issues, and you're gone. And you move on to a sister who's very secure and confident with herself. So then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy saying, see, he left, he lost interest, but it wasn't because of us. It was because you lacked the confidence. You know that women are in charge. A woman that knows that she's confident, that knows that she has her stuff together, we are a sucker for her. We will follow and chase her down the street because we are in love with that confidence. If she lacks that confidence, then she lacks value to us because we're wondering why she can't see what we see in her. And that's what happens. A lot of women give away a lot of power because of insecurities.
Now, how can a woman begin to say, you have women who acknowledge that, yes, I do have one or more egotistical insecurities. What would be some of your advice on helping a woman take step one towards overcoming her egotistical insecurities?
Okay. All right. Well, one, let me take responsibility as a man. I think we have caused a lot of that. You know, I think that there are some men that have been irresponsible, lied, played with women's emotions. And unfortunately, we base our reality based upon our past experience. So if I've had 5 bad experiences with men, yeah, I can understand why someone generalizes and saying, yeah, all men are dogs, because that's true. You've been through 5 men that didn't do well. So what I'll recommend is listen. Start talking to men that can give you a different perspective. Realize that the 5 guys that you dated don't represent a large percentage of men out there. Talk to a man and understand his feelings. Befriend men. Become platonic with men and ask them what they're looking for in relationships. And we have to be transparent. And once they start talking to men, they realize, wow, I've never met a man like Aldewan. I've never met a man like Alan. I didn't know these guys existed. You know, I'm not saying that all men are noble, but there are so many out there that if you are not at least having conversations with them, then you don't even have the mindset to attract them. Second thing is I would ask them to watch their single girlfriends who have positive attitudes and a lot of confidence. They have men for days. Alan, there are women that will dispute you up and down, and you know them, and they're on the line right now, that will tell you there are plenty eligible great men out there. They have their choice of great men. And it's because they know something that the other women don't, is that we need them. It's rare to find a woman that's confident, has her stuff together. She really understands how to build a man up. She's not there to dig his gold, but she's there to make him into the diamond. She's there to upgrade him. You know, if he's a 7, when she's met him, she knows it's her job to take him to a 10, so that if she stops dating him, he goes back to a 7, so he's not going to allow her to go anywhere.
I like that. I like that, brother.
I mean, who doesn't want to upgrade? You know, let's keep it. I just want to keep it real, Alan, because I think it's all in the psychology, and the media has contributed to it. But let's keep it real, okay? You're talking about a man. Everyone wants companionship, okay? Every man wants companionship. They want someone that they can share their dreams with, someone to listen to their ambitions. We all want a personal cheerleader. When we come home, we want house to be a home. We want someone that can listen to us, support us, someone that can check us, you know, appropriately. We want someone to hold us down. We're not just about serial dating and having random sex. I mean, that's empty. Mm-hmm. That's empty. That's not fulfilling. So we're looking for women the same way they're looking for us. Mm-hmm. We just do a better job of playing it off.
Now, let me ask you this. You know, I from the time I was in high school or in college, a lot of women have maintained this belief that you got to be the present themselves as the proverbial good girl in order to find a husband. Do you think in this day and age, the 21st century, that a woman has to strictly present herself as the proverbial good girl? Does that increase her chances? Or can a woman, say, who's indulged in casual sex in the past or maybe had a, you know, a promiscuous past to one degree or another, also snatch her husband?
No, I think they have to be somewhat goody-goody. Because when, let me explain that. I think you have to have a mixture. All right, because you know men, we're strange creatures. Because what we're looking for a woman that we can take home to mom, a woman that we can take to church, a woman that can bake cupcakes for the kids, a woman that we can sit and pray together, a woman we can sit and talk about politics, we can talk about business so she's intelligent. She can also kick back and watch the game. She can also sit back and enjoy a beverage. And when it's time, she's definitely uninhibited when it comes to the bedroom, you know. She's not scared. We need a whole combination of that. But I think it's how she presents that is the art form. Men love to be surprised by how wild a woman is in the bedroom. That needs to be a surprise. That is not something she wants to put on Front Street in the first couple of dates. You know, men are looking for that strange combination of things. So I think that women have to present, put their best foot forward, because men are looking for a woman, you know, especially we're talking about marriage. You know, most guys are thinking about children. So they don't want a woman with questionable character, you know. If a man is a Christian, he's looking for someone that's likewise, because they get into an argument, hey, I want us to defer to the Bible and not get back and forth with no way to solve it. You know, I want our kids to be smart, so I want you to value education. You know, I want you to be smart about your finances because I am. You know, I also want you to be I want you to be cool enough so that we can kind of do things on the fly and be spontaneous. And then when it is time to be intimate, I want you to be secure in yourself because I don't have time to be with a little girl. I want to be with someone that's a grown woman that's able to be a perfect challenge for me. That's what I think we're looking for.
Well, speaking of what men are looking for, what would you say from the conversations you've had with single men, if you had to identify maybe the top three factors that intimidate them about marriage or scare them or just make them kind of lose some of their enthusiasm towards marriage, what would those 2 to 3 factors be?
Oh, one, they are afraid of the woman changing. So they think that the woman is biological clock is ticking. Her sorority sisters have gotten married. Grandma's asking her, what's wrong with her? Why you don't have a man? And guys are afraid of being just good enough. So what I mean by that, Alan, is she's not really interested in me. I'm just a good package. You know, I have my degree. I'm attractive. I have my stuff together. You know, she's not feeling me. She's just ready to be married. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So when we get together, it's not real love. I think the second thing that guys are afraid of is that they're afraid that the woman is a gold digger. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. I don't mean that in the video sense. I mean that men have them too, but women have a tendency to have a list. All right, I want a man who's 6'2", 215, has no kids, or if he has kids, I want him to be under 3. I want him to have this type of credit score. I want him to be humorous. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. And they go out and they look for a man that fits that list. I'm going somewhere with this. So they're looking for gold. This man appears golden to them. And what happens is when they get into a relationship, they don't realize that the man is going to be unfulfilled because the man's looking like, okay, well, I'm this gold, but what am I getting out of the relationship? What am I getting? Mm-hmm. My advice to women is, like I said before, to be a diamond maker. when you meet a man, you don't start this list of things that you're looking for. It's not this point-and-click dating, okay? Because our parents didn't meet that way. Our grandparents didn't meet this way. You know, a lot of them met just through pure chance. A lot of women say, I wasn't even interested in your father. You know, he pursued me, and then one day we just hit it off, and I started looking at him differently. It's about connection. So when women date a man, the way they become irresistible is to think about ways in which they can upgrade him, you know, be his number one cheerleader, make him feel like King Kong when he's home, make him feel, you know, because, Alan, you know, growing up, we want to be superheroes. We want to be football players. We want to save the world. We want to, and that's why we need a woman who allows us to feel that way. She plays, because she's definitely not helpless. We don't want a woman that's helpless. But she's the damsel in distress. She's the one to say, hey, baby, you know what, Alan, I can't wait to hear you on, you know, syndicated in 14 stations. I got this book by Wendy Williams for you. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She's not dating looking for the gold. She's trying to make you into a diamond. She sees you as carbon. She's trying to take you to a whole other level. She's trying to pour into you. She's trying to show the God in her, and she's trying to give that completely to you. That's what makes her irresistible to us. It's not about how cute you are. You know, you said in the promo, Michelle Obama said, cute gets old. Mm-hmm. It gets old to both men and women. But a woman that's able to upgrade you, to strengthen you, to make you feel like mama made you feel as far as how strong you feel, mama fix you a bowl of Campbell's soup, you go back out there and run the football, you know. Mm-hmm. You mess up and, you know, you make a mistake, she's able to upgrade you. That's what we're looking for.
That's good stuff, brother. That's good stuff. Listeners, if you have a question and or comment about the discussion, you can call 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. I'm going to let Dr. Tart get a swig of water, and I'm going to take about a 3 to 4 minute intermission. But when I come back, I'm going to continue with some questions, and I'm going to take some of your questions, and we'll keep this conversation going. It's flowing real well. Again, the number is 646-478-5710. 646-478-5710. I'll be right back after this intermission break. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode 1.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's over 51%. Yeah.
Oh, there's more what?
Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
mindsets is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Just so listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that, yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my interview with psychologist, relationship coach, and popular book author, Dr. Alduin Tart on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to tonight's episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. I'm chatting here with one of the most popular relationship coaches and psychologists and book authors in this country. He's based out of Atlanta. His name is Dr. Alduin Tart, and his book is entitled The Ring Formula, How to Marry Mr. Right. And we all know there's a number of single women out here looking for their lifelong partner. I'm going to go to the phone lines real quick and take a couple calls. Area code 301, you're now Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest for the evening, Dr. Alduin Tart. What is your question and or comment?
Thank you, Alan. This is Alita. Hi, Dr. Tart. I have a...
Hey, Alita. How you doing?
I'm fine. I have three questions. And the first question...
Three, you greedy rascal.
I am greedy. Yes, I am trying to get it all in. Three, and one, how are you qualified to tell women how to get married when you're single? Two, if I've already met several well-established, that means they got it going on money-wise, black men, and I'm getting ready to date them, do I supposed to kind of toss them to the side because I did kind of pick them based on that they kind of were established and they got it going on? And how do I pull back if I kind of talked a little too sexy to them too early?
Okay, all right, I'll answer the first one. All right, how am I qualified? All right, one, what
you're
I
single,
say works.
You're not married.
All right, what I say works. that's just the best way I can say it. First of all, I do have a PhD in psychology, so I have been doing that for 10 years. The stuff that I put out, I mean, Essence, I'm a contributing writer to Essence, Black Men Reveal, MTV's Made, BET, because the women call in. This is not about my ego. This is about the stuff that I say actually works to improve relationships. So from a psychology standpoint, too, I am in a relationship. It's new, very new, but I like it. And then, too, I have been married. So I understand both sides of the equation. And to be completely transparent, I understand not only the benefits of marriage and what men are looking for, but I also understand what we're looking for as single men coming back on the market. You see what I'm saying? So I realize how things are different, and I realize, like, wow, there are a lot of women that just did not know their power and how we should be pursuing them instead of them pursuing me. So that's the best way I can answer that.
Okay.
Number two, I don't think there's anything wrong with picking great men. I don't think you should settle for anything less than what you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that in addition to that, what you're selling, you should sell also your ability to make that man even greater than what he is right now, because
okay.
that's what men are looking for. They're looking for a woman that can upgrade them, and just like the Beyonce song, I mean, they're mm-hmm. looking for a woman that's going to make them a better father, make them a better businessman, make them better with expressing their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for someone that can really compliment us because, you know, I come from a biblical standpoint, but I'm also can talk real world. You know, God created Eve as Adam's helpmate. That means that Adam obviously couldn't hold it down by himself, and he needed someone to help him to be a stronger man.
Okay.
You know, very secure men are okay with women coming in that are very strong will, as long as they respect us as, you know, respect our manhood, that to upgrade us.
Okay, and then let's talk about if you kind of
okay.
talk a little sexy too early to these great men, and how do you pull back? I mean, will they notice things like, okay, now she stopped talking since I bought the ring book? She's kind of stopped, you know, how do you pull that back?
One, you want to be careful when it comes to sex, because any woman that goes to talking about sex too soon,
mm-hmm.
I understand the psychology. You want to make the man interested. You want to see if he's interested in you.
No, you're kind of like yourself. You might be a sex. You might just be a horny being. You know, I'm just gonna keep it real. You might just on your own. So just because you want to get married, like you just said, I heard what you're saying. How do you just kind of pull back and keep your hormones in check? It's not because of
well,
the man.
As a woman, you have to.
Yeah.
Okay, I know a lot of women don't want to hear me say that, but you have to, because it kills the drive for us.
Exactly.
A lot of this is about challenge. This is about, I don't want to say a conquest, but when it comes to a wife or a monogamous girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
we're looking for someone that makes us work very, very hard to be with her, because what that tells, from a standpoint, it makes us feel secure with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you start talking all sexy to me, we have sex within the first couple of dates, yeah, we enjoyed it, but one, you lose value. Two, you've already fed us, so there's no drive to pursue you anymore anyway. And then three, we're wondering who else? Who else have you been with?
Okay.
I mean, how special can I be to you? This is a man's insecurity now. How special can I be to you if you're sexing me on the second or third date or talking about certain things and you don't even know me? That wasn't a physical, that wasn't necessarily love making. That was just you. Do you do this with everybody? You know what I'm saying? Or was this strictly for Aldewan?
So how do you pull back from the talking then?
Okay, so what you do is you tell him he got lucky. You know, y'all got caught up in the moment. Y'all both grown. You got caught up in the moment. But look, you know what? That's just not my style. You know, I'm really feeling you. I think that you're a fly. You have your stuff together. But, you know, it was what it was. But from here on out, we're going to have to sit down and talk about, you know, how to pace this thing out, because I'm really serious about not. I don't give my body away to everyone like that, and then make him redate you, you know, make him continue to re-pursue you to get back to that point. He's
okay.
going to love it.
Okay.
We love it.
Okay.
We love to pursue. The easier you are, the more we dislike you. It might even turn into a hatred.
But
keeping
Dr. Card, can I interject here? This is the
yes,
first
sir.
Thing you said that I have to admit I get challenges with, because I say this universally, I think what you said is true, but I know I'll speak for myself. I've met some women that I've actually had sex with within the first week after I met them, and I've gone on to date them, you know, months if not years, and then other women, quote unquote, made me wait, and our relationship fizzled out fairly quickly. So
yeah,
when you acknowledge that there's definitely some exceptions, because I think once you get older, you just make the mature decision to sleep with someone. And if they make the mature decision to sleep with you, you just go with it as long as the chemistry's there.
And, Alan, I think, you know, everything you're saying is absolutely right. Probably what made you stay with those women was their personality. You know, sex doesn't necessarily kill it, okay? But let me ask you this. Have the women that you slept with in that first month that you went on to date for years, had they had you wait, would you have lost interest in them?
If they had had me wait.
Wait,
it's like this. It's a difference, and I've said this before in different interviews. If a woman is just genuinely not ready to have sex with me, I respect that. And I've never been one to try to rush a woman into sex or push a woman into sex. But if I feel like a woman is being manipulative about it, the whole holding out on sex is kind of a manipulative game plan tactic, see, I immediately lose respect for that. And like, I'll go on record and saying I don't want to attack this brother because I like him personally, but like Steve Harvey's 90-day rule, I don't like that at all, because I think that encourages a lot of women to just be manipulative. Because, for example, if you got a woman that, say, meets me,
mm-hmm.
like, okay, let's use Aaliyah. Let's say Aaliyah meets me, mm-hmm. and she's ready to have sex on the fifth day after she met me. But because she read a book, she says, well, I'm going to wait 90 days.
Yeah.
See, that, to me, that's disingenuous and that's manipulative. Whereas if she just said, genuinely felt like, I'm not ready to have sex with Alan, and she doesn't become ready until the 90th day or later, then I don't have a problem with that. I respect that. But I don't like that.
Yeah, because
that,
like, I think what he's saying is, like, I hear what, because it's like you're, we're only waiting 90 days because of the rules and because everybody's saying wait. But, you know, physically, yeah, I want to because of hormone reasons. But because, like, your book is saying, all these books are saying, I'm going to wait. Basically.
Yeah, I'm just going to be honest. I think that you have to wait. I mean, I agree. It shouldn't be, you know, 90 days, 6 months. I mean, and I put that in my book. I believe that you should make a man wait for 6 months, but for a different reason. All right, let me talk to you about the psychology of men. Sex to us is a drive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just going to be honest. There are times in the month, if our sex drive is high, we'll want to be with particular women.
Mm-hmm.
If our sex drive is low, there's no way in the world we want to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And there are a number of women that have been hurt because they have confused our sex drive for love.
Mm-hmm.
There's a universal saying that says that men give love for sex and women give sex for love.
Mm-hmm.
But for men, sometimes we want to have sex just like we want to go to the bathroom. Here's my analogy. All right? So we have to go to the bathroom. And so we're running around, and we see the first bathroom that seems like it might be clean. And we go in that bathroom like, ooh, this bathroom looks good. It's clean. The soap looks good. And it's, ooh. And we go to the bathroom. And then once we go to the bathroom, we look around. I don't even like this bathroom. You know what? Why did I do this? Man, I didn't want to play her out like that, but I definitely don't want to be here.
Mm.
And there are millions of women that have experienced, and men that have experienced, what happens right after the moment of climax, right after they have sex, men immediately want that, a lot of times, want that woman to go home if they have no interest in her.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and there are a lot of women, everything was going well, you had sex, and all of a sudden, strangely enough, the guy starts acting funny.
Yeah.
You know? That is because you didn't date him long enough for him to make sure that he really liked you and it wasn't just his sex drive.
Mm-hmm.
His attraction to you was based upon intimacy. His attraction to you was based upon not just sex.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
But how in the world do you know that in the first couple of dates?
Okay.
You don't. Sometimes as guys, we are surprised at ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, man, I was really feeling her, but then afterwards, I don't really like her anymore.
So even if it takes 6 months, and we know he's probably having sex with other women, if you're not having sex with him.
Oh, that's not true. Oh, that's not true.
Okay.
Well, I'm saying,
wait,
what
was that again?
I'm saying if you're not having sex with him, he's probably having sex with other women. If I'm not having sex with him, he's having sex with somebody else.
Oh, that's not true. Don't believe that. Okay, let me tell you. I mean, yes, that can be true, but depends on how you date him. All right, one, if you let him know, look, if we're going to date, I'm not into dating someone that is physically with someone else. So if you feel that's what you need to do, then cool. All right? But if you feel like you want to get to know a sister, then let's play this out. Does that make sense?
So do you just kiss and that's it during your dating process?
Yeah, you have to. I think that you have to sit down and you have to talk about how far you can go and keep it realistic. And I think that you have to keep your dates. We have to avoid the whole come over and watch a movie date and let's drink. I mean, because you put yourself in a precarious situation, both of us. I think we, you know, I think our parents and our grandparents actually had it right. That's why their relationships lasted longer. And to be honest, they were much better. Women were much better at courting. Men have always wanted to have sex faster than the woman. Mm-hmm. But because the woman made the man chase back in the day, he had to put in so much more effort, he was able to fall in love with her in the process to where it was no longer sex. Here's the second thing. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to represent for myself and I think a lot of other men out there that are just not heard. I'm not going to have, if I'm dating someone that I like I am right now, I'm not going to go out there and have sex with other women, even though I could. Here's why. To be honest with you, it's empty. It's just going to the bathroom. There's no intimacy. There's no emotional connection.
So what do you do when you're horny?
I take care of myself.
Okay.
You know? The drive is still there. You see what I'm saying? But I take care of myself because I don't want things to go too quickly. You know, there are times in the month where I go out, I'm like, ooh, I want her so badly. But I know it's just the drive because I'm completely happy with the person I'm dating right now.
Okay.
So I was like, I know my attraction to her is purely physical. Mm-hmm. I also know from past experience, if I'm with her, I'm not doing anything but using her to satisfy my sex drive. That makes me feel bad as a man. That makes me feel bad for using her in that way. You see what I'm saying?
And so in your book, if I get this book, it will show it. Having the guy does not agree with me in the book. I just have to stop dating him if he doesn't agree with what I'm putting out there. Right.
Just realize that he's going to have a temper tantrum. He is a man. He's going to want to be with you. Mm-hmm. But if he's really down for you, then sex should not be the issue. When you ask married men, why did you marry your wife? They don't say because she was the best sex I ever had. They don't even say she's the best looking woman they've ever been with. She's the complete package. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
She is the best all-around woman that I've ever been with. They don't even list sex in the top three.
But then when they get married, they complain that they don't get enough sex.
Now, you know, a lot of that has to do with, and when people get married, they stop dating. Okay? So they stop, the woman, you know, they have kids, and she's taking the kids to soccer practice. And she used to wear lingerie, but now she's wearing those old cutty-duddies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You said they don't rank it in the top. Now, come on now. Sex.
They don't do what?
Top three.
You said they don't have. All my married male friends said they don't have nothing no more. She wears a bonnet on her head. Sex is not there.
And that's what makes a lot of men step out the relationship. You know, and women. Let's just keep it real. I mean, infidelity is huge. But when you start looking at, you start talking to couples behind closed doors, what led to the infidelity? They stop dating. You know, for men, they complain, hey, she used to be my biggest cheerleader. She used to tell me that, and this means a lot to men. She used to tell me she liked my chest. She used to tell me I was really smart. She used to tell me that she admired me. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But since we've gotten married, all that stopped. Meanwhile, I'm in the office, and you can best believe the woman in the next cubicle is telling you, so, Dallin, you're so smart, you know, how you've been working out. I mean, she is stroking his ego, so he is naturally gravitating in that direction. Same thing with a woman. You know, I could just tell by your voice and your confidence that you're attractive. You know that you dress up. Think about it. You can be in a relationship with a guy. You dress up, and you dress up for us. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah.
Dress up for men to notice.
I dress up for me, too, but I dress up, you know. If I go on a date, I'm going to dress nice.
Absolutely. And if your date does not say something about
your
outfit, man does,
you
automatically gravitate towards that other man.
Yeah, he better say something about my outfit.
So that's what it's all about. It's about, you know, when we get in committed relationships, people forget that they have to make deposits into their relationships just like a bank account. Or you're going to wake up and be in withdrawal.
And you can't be spoiled when you're in a relationship, can you?
Now, Lita, now you know I'll let you kind of go.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to talk too much. Let the other people talk. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm finished.
You finished?
Thanks, Alita.
Well,
thank
I appreciate you calling in, Alita.
Thank you. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Go ahead.
I got area code 614. 614, you're now upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, Dr. Aldwan Tart. What's your question and or comment?
Hi, Dr. Tart. It's Crystal in Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, Crystal. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm on with Alan. Life can't be better.
Well, right now I'm kind of exhausted working on my master's homework, so I promised I'd sign in tonight and ask you some questions.
Come on with it.
The first one is, where are all these eligible bachelors that women can be evenly yoked with?
Okay. I'm going to give my spiel, and I'm going to let Alan take it to the next level. I think, one, we're all over the place, but I think that you have to change the way you go out looking for men. We're not in restaurants. A lot of women go out to eat at restaurants. We're at the golf range. We're at men's conferences. We're at fraternity meetings. We're at sports bars. You have to go out. I mean, I'm not saying you go out looking for a man, but when you go out, you have to go to places where men are, okay? You don't go to places where women are. And then second, when you go out, and you may do this already, Crystal, if you're going to go out with a lot of women, you all need to go into the establishment and separate. You don't need all five of you to sit at the table. Okay.
I never go out with that many women at one time.
Well, that's good, but a lot of women do, you know, because they want to look like they're not looking, all right? But the problem is they do it too well. And a man's not going to go up to a table, most men, you know, will go up to a table of five women and say, hey, you in the blue dress, you know, I'm really interested in you. So that's just asking for a whole lot. It's better that if you go out, you just kind of disperse while you're there, check in with one another, but just go up to the bar or wherever you restaurant, you know, and just exist and smile. Just be you. It's like the sun. When the sun is shining, people go outside. When men see a quality woman that has a lot of confidence about herself, we will come to you. You won't have to look for us. And then three, you have to believe that there are eligible men all around you. One of the things I see far too often, and I love my sisters, but sometimes they look mean and mad at the world, and they don't know it. They look so mad. You're like, she's cute, but she looks angry. I'm not going to go over there. You know,
I was told that.
You have to smile. You have to have a radiant, in my opinion, godly smile, so that when men look at you, they're like, man, she seems happy. Look, I mean, you're just radiating from inside out, and the man wants to be part of your glow. You see what I'm saying? I want to bask in your warmth. When you walk by, a man can feel a woman that feels 100% confident, and we just cannot stop ourselves from getting to know her. Like, what are you walking so, you know, why are you walking like that? Girl, you look absolutely amazing. You have a beautiful smile, and a lot of women don't do that, so they don't see the eligible men because the eligible men are looking at them, but you're so busy looking mad that we never approach. The first move is on the woman. A lot of people think it's the man. It is not. The first move is on the woman to smile and look approachable, and then we approach. What do you think, Alan?
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. Body language is very important, and you know, there's such thing as what's called open body language and closed body language. And, yeah, frowning would be an example of closed body language. Having your arms folded is closed body language. Smiling is open body language. Having, you know, your arms open is open body language. So, yeah, I very much pay attention to body language before, you know, whenever I've approached women, before I approach them. Matter of fact, if you look on the cover of my book, Mole 1, I have my eyes on the cover. It actually represents a few things, but the biggest thing it represents is that I'm all about eye contact.
Okay.
I definitely, when I'm conversing with a woman, interacting with a woman, I always study her eyes. You can read so much about a person when you're in conversation with them by studying their eyes, the manner in which they use their eyes. Matter of fact, there's a couple of shows on now that emphasize that concept. One is The Mentalist, and another is on Fox called Lie to Me. And if you were to watch those shows, they're always talking about the importance, number one, of body language in general, and more specifically, the eyes. So, yeah, I definitely think body language is important.
Now, I know about the eyes portion, because if someone's not looking at you or they're looking away, you can discount some of the things they're conveying to you. They look away, they look down, they're not looking directly at you.
Yeah, I generally, there can be exceptions here and there, but generally, people who are shady have shady character tend to have very shifty eye contact.
Yeah.
Usually people, and again, I'm generalizing, there might be a handful of exceptions, but generally, people of high character, people who are true to their word, those are the people, they tend to maintain direct eye contact. People who say what they mean what they say. But people who, you know, are telling you a bunch of lies, basically BSing you, they tend to look all over the place. They be looking up at the ceiling, down at the floor, to the right, to the left.
Yeah.
Because, and the reason why, the psychological reason, and Dr. Tarkin made me speak to this from what I've read, psychologists say, reason why people with questionable character, on some level, either on a conscious level or subconscious level, when they tell a lie, they feel convicted about it. It basically makes them feel guilty. So that's why they can't keep eye contact with you, because they're feeling convicted. Now, unless they're a sociopath. Sociopaths have no conscience. So they might be able to be telling you a bold-faced lie and still maintain direct eye contact with you. But the average person feels convicted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's absolutely right. And that's why a man can feel a woman that feels 100% secure with herself. I think a lot of women go wrong because they date too soon. I mean, they date at 75%. Men do it as well. And Crystal, you can see you can feel a man who's 100% confidence a mile away. Am I right or wrong?
That's true.
I mean, you can see he can be across the room. You can just tell by the way he carries himself that he's comfortable with who he is. He's comfortable in his own skin, and you're naturally attracted. Who's that? Who's that? All your girlfriends' eyes are all on the same man. Who is he? Women have to do the same thing. I advise women. I say, listen, you know, men can feel your confidence. It's in your body language. It's in a vibe. Be able to write at least a 2-page letter to yourself about why a man should date you and only you, Crystal, above any and every woman on this planet. If you can't complete that 2 pages, you're not ready to date yet.
Oh,
you have to be able to understand.
It.
Okay, well, then all you need to do is go out and watch the men come to you. And then change that, whatever the men said, whatever your girlfriend said you were doing about not smiling, change that. Seriously. And I want people listening to do it. I don't want them to listen to what I say. I want them to try it and then get the feedback. Like the first caller says, what qualifies me? Because the stuff works, you know. Go out, feel great about yourself, buy something new for yourself, and just radiate. Hey, I love Crystal today. I know I look good. I know the men are going to be attracted to me because I bring a lot to the table. You know, I can brighten up any man's world, and watch the different response that you get. You're going to have men coming up to you, you know, in a checkout counter. You're going to have men coming up to you, pulling up next to you in cars. You're getting out your car, going to the elevator. You're going to have men look at you in a different way. It's because you're radiating something completely different. You are what you attract.
I never thought about that.
Well, I got to take some more calls, but thank you, Crystal.
Okay, thank you.
I got area code 773. You there?
Yes, I am.
And what is your question and or comment?
Well, I'm actually from Chicago, and my problem is not necessarily finding people to date or getting dates. It's more a matter of I've been trying to always be, like, kind of open to just anybody. I mean, there has to be chemistry for me in order to move forward in a relationship. The part is that sometimes I find chemistry with people who are not necessarily the same level that I am financially, which I have no problem with. But then as the relationship moves forward, that seems to present an issue for them. It becomes something that they're concerned that, you know, they need to get to a certain place to be able to take care of me, be able to do this for us, and to grow us rather than looking at us being able to grow it together. And that's such a turnoff for me that it ends up ending it because I'm already have been willing to move forward with it, but then this person is choosing to do otherwise. So I'm just asking you, is that more of an excuse? Or, I mean, they seem sincere in what they're saying. When I leave, it's an issue. but yet it's something that I've seen come up recently in the men that I've been dating, that the ones that are still out here that I've been meeting, I'm 36 years old, the ones that are still available and out here still feel like they have some growing to do or something they need to be taken care of. So.
Okay, what's your name?
Christine.
Christine. I mean, Christine, mm-hmm. I can hear the frustration, you know, in your voice.
really?
And it's legitimate because men need to feel like they are providers, mm-hmm. okay? It's clearly almost in the center of our egos. We need to feel that way. But here's how you get around it, okay? Because you certainly don't need to be less successful and make less money to attract a good man, okay? Because there are confident men that want to be with you. One, make sure I'm not saying you're doing this, but make sure you're not too strong, okay? Because what men fear is that argument in which you say, well, you know what? I make more money than you, so we are going to go on that particular trip. The main thing is to do is I'm sorry. Go ahead, Christine.
I'm sorry. I was saying I would never. That's
right,
never
right,
my approach to stuff like that at all.
But sure,
I mean, the thing is, I've been in relationships with people who are financially well done, and then I've been with people who haven't been. For me, it makes no difference to me. I've never been that kind who has expectations of a man to be, you know, I understand that they want to be the provider and do things, but also I want to also feel like we can do this together and grow this together.
Okay.
You know,
all
I'm
right.
trying to be a partner in the relationship, and yet it's like they feel like they constantly have to be above, and I don't want to. I'm not battling for that, but like you said, there's nothing I can do about where I am now. I don't know how to make them feel better about where they are.
I do.
Keep trying. Please.
I do.
Please.
I'm sorry, Christine. I hear the frustration, so I want to come right at you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's not really. Don't think about trying to be equally yoked and worrying about what he's thinking. Okay, one, we want to make sure that, Christine, when you come into this man's life, that he understands that you're the best thing that ever happened to him. I don't care what his preconceived notions about him needing to be in the same income level as you or him needing to make more. You know, all that needs to go out the door because of how you are upgrading him. When I mean upgrading, let me clarify that. That means that you're sitting down listening to his goals and ambitions. I can't tell you how intoxicating that is to men, to a woman, to sit down and listen to his goals and ask really directed questions about his dreams and his desires. So many women interview men on dates and never really listen to his dreams and ambitions. That's number one. Two, you're listening to what he wants in a life partner. You're listening to what he wants in a soulmate. And if that's who you are, you're letting him know that you can provide that. I mean, you're holding him down better than any other woman except for his mom, you know, has ever done. And I don't mean that social work love, like, baby, let me do. But you are reciprocating, you know, the attention that he's giving to you. Attitude is what I want you to have even more of. You have a lot. I want you to take it to even the next level. Because I can tell you, men are looking for the one. That's why men will date 20 different women and still not settle down well into their late 30s, 40s, because they are looking for that perfect woman, you know, the perfect woman for them.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you walk and you date with that extreme confidence that whatever insecurities or whatever issues he has with your money will go away, because when you leave him, he's half the man without you and he's twice the man with you. Focus on making that man into a diamond.
But what's so interesting?
Take him from carbon to diamond.
I completely feel you on what you're saying, and what's interesting though is that they're not leaving me. I choose to leave because at a certain point, it just becomes difficult to. I don't know. It's not that they don't want to stay around. It becomes this time frame of, well, I want to get here, let's grow this together, it's going to take me XYZ years to move forward as far as I'm talking marriage, family, and such. And not that there's like a clock ticking or anything, but I'm not looking to be in a relationship for 4, 5, 6. I was in a 12-year relationship with someone.
Well,
No regrets. No regrets on, you know, the situation, the person, or how it ended or anything. Great relationship, great person. We ended up just realizing at a certain point he was 15 years older than me. So we just ended up having, as time went on, realizing we wanted different things further down the line. And it was more that age gap than anything from when we started to where we ended. But now it's like I don't see myself spending 2, 3, 4, 5 years in a relationship before I get married. You know, that's not where I am right now. And so, you know, I very comfortable allowing a man to be a man and, you know, listening to what they want. I'm supportive of, but I also don't want to commit years and years and years and years again to potentially end up in the same situation I was with the 12-year
Christine, I hear you. I'm going to keep this short. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. The men listening, I'm listening, Alan's listening, it's not going to take you very long. Because you obviously know how to support a man. You know how to build a man. I think you need to attract more secure men, to be honest. And, you know, have a timeline as to when you want to get married. You know, I don't mean a preset one,
mm-hmm.
you know, like 2 years. But it needs to be, listen, I've shown you what I bring to the table. You know I hold you down. I know how you feel about me. Look, I know that I can find a man that's willing to commit to me because mm-hmm. of how I upgrade him. How I compliment him, all right? So I'm going, this is the part of Steve Harvey's book I'm going to have to give credit. He talked about when he was with the woman and he had been telling her, yeah, I'm going to get married, I'm going to get married. Finally, she got up one day and said, look, you know, Steve, I respect you, I love you, but I can't do this. You know, I'm a woman that needs to be married, that deserves to be married, that deserves a commitment. I respect you. You were honest with me from Jump Street, but I'm going to leave and I'm going to find this for me and my, I think, son or daughter. And Steve, at that point, when she got up and she was on the move and about to open the door, he thought about how stupid he'd be to let the best thing walk in and out of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately he knew he wanted to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Millions of men will tell you, if you talk to married men, they'll tell you the same story. It's not an ultimatum, but it's kind of like, look, I'm going to have to go ahead and go on the move and find what I'm looking for. I know I can find it.
Absolutely.
Don't be committed to the man. Be committed to the man that's going to give you what it is that you know you deserve, and that's commitment.
Mm-hmm.
When a great woman gets ready to leave, men start going through changes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, I did the same thing before I got married. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I want to have this. I had it all figured out, and she was like, look, what you trying to do? And I was like, look, I don't really need to make this amount of money, you know, by March. You see what I'm saying? I can I can make money whenever, but this is the woman that I've been looking for. I've dated for years before I find this woman.
I was in a situation like that where I did exactly what you said, and, you know, just because it was just getting frustrating to me, I just couldn't keep committing this time to a person who did not know what he wanted to do. And I did leave, and he did exactly what you said. But unfortunately for me, it was such a turnoff at that point that I had to leave you before you realized what you had, that it was hard for me to even want to be with him after that. You know, and I don't want to knock because I meet great guys all the time. And, you know, I was kind of blogging initially that for me it's more about the chemistry of a person. So I can meet a great guy who's got it all together, who would be ready to marry me tomorrow, and yet there's just no chemistry there for me. Like, I don't feel this, like, for that person to move forward on a romantic level, you know, and forward. So I just don't do those. I don't get with those guys. And then I meet guys, great guys who live out of town. And long distance is an issue for me. Like, you know, them asking me to move someplace but without a full-on commitment, I don't know if I'm really ready to take that risk. There's so many variables out there that it becomes frustrating. It does become tiring. And I don't know. I should stop right.
Oh, okay, I got to interject in this. And actually, Christine, thank you for calling in. I got to move on to some calls. But I want to ask you, Dr. Tard, and you guys might have just covered this, but how long should a woman date a man before identifying? How long should it take her to identify if that man is going to potentially propose or not? Because when I hear people say they were in like 5 year, 7 year, 9 year relationships and there was no proposal, I'm sorry, but I have to scratch my head unless you just enjoy that person's company. But if your specific objective is to get married, I don't understand why men or women stay in a relationship that long. So is there an ideal period that a woman should know if a guy is going to propose or not?
I think after a year. You know what? One, it depends on age. You know that, Alan. You know, so I think the older the guy is, the more he should know what he's looking for, okay? Because we're talking about in the early 20s. I mean, you know, it's hard for a man to know. He may not even be thinking about marriage, okay? But we start talking about late 20s, early 30s. Most men know what they're looking for the most part, and women definitely know. I would say a year. After a year, you all should have a very serious conversation about what you're looking to do. And if the man is not willing to commit or says he has a problem with that, I think a woman needs to move on. And I understand the psychology about why it's hard to. I mean, because one, you have history. Then it's the fear of starting over. And I've already invested time and energy into this man. I'm going to have to start over with someone else. I say yes, absolutely, positively. Because if you don't, you're going to be stay stuck in a 5, 6, 7 year relationship. And that man is completely comfortable because he's getting everything he wants without the commitment. And then the longer she stays in the relationship, the harder it's going to be for her to leave and finally find what she's looking for. On the other hand, if they're talking and saying, look, you know, there's some things that we need to work out before we get married, because the goal is to stay married. It doesn't matter how long you court. The goal is to try and stay in that bad boy until death do you part. So if you all are talking and saying, hey, I still need to work on my insecurity issues, I need to work on, you know, having more balance, I need to work on being a better listener, I need to work on, you know, family of origin issues, supporting you better, you know, we need to work on our teamwork. Yeah, sure, go ahead and knock that out if you're on the same page. But I believe that, you know, after about a year, you need to sit down and talk to a brother. Hey, what are you trying to do? This is what I'm trying to do and see if they match. And if not, get to stepping, all right? Because if you added value to that brother's life, he's going to stop you at the door and say, all right, let's have a compromise.
Okay. I got area code 706, area code 706. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, my guest tonight, Dr. Aldwan Tart. What's your question and or comment?
How you doing, Dr. Tart? How are you doing, especially Alan? How are you today? This is Donna Colleon.
Glad to have you call in, Don.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I want to say a few things. Can I say something?
As long as you don't take like 20 minutes.
Oh, I don't take 20 minutes. I'm short, simple, to the point, and
okay.
Sweet. I came on in the beginning where we were talking, where you guys were talking about, you know, how a woman should be in public, whether or not she needs to basically disperse from her friends and this, that, and the third, and women are looking so mad. That's when I came in. That's what made me call in. How you doing, Sandy, in the chat room? What up? Anyway, but, you know, I type in, well, let me explain why we mad. First of all, what brothers need to understand, and I'm not here to bash a man or any of that, but when women are out in public, women are out in public for particular reasons. So while she's mean mugging or mad at you or anybody or any man that has approached her, it's because the way that men are approaching women in public is not the right approach. Is never the right approach. First of all, she with her girls. In other words, if the woman wanted to be single and mingle, she would go singly in herself. And that's the only thing. Like, you know, when I'm out with my girls, next thing I know, some cat come in. I mean, we having a great conversation. Me and my sisters, we building, we're laughing, we having a great time. I mean, come on, man, we work all day, we sleep all night. So in between that, we just want to kick it. We just want to get together and have a great time. And then all of a sudden, some sucker punk come up in the middle of our conversation, which is very disrespectful, because surely he was taught when he was younger, when old, when women get together, boy, don't come in and interfere with us. Right? So anyway, my point saying is that, yes, we start to mean mug or have this mad face, Alan, you know, because that's disturbing us right now. Now, if the woman is single, she's at the bar by herself, because normally you'll find Donna Colleon at the bar. I'm always the chick that will disperse with the other broad, because sometimes...
Let me interject, Don.
That wasn't 20 minutes.
I got to say this, though. What you said is valid, but where I have criticisms... When Dr. Tart was talking about, he was specifically talking about those single women who are looking to meet guys. So
right,
they
and
should
that,
be frowning. Now, the women
I agree,
you're talking about, they
agree,
should
but,
be
I agree, but check out the scenes. I'm trying to help the brothers out now, okay? Now, he did a great job giving Crystal and Christine and Cristal the points and stuff. But I'm just saying, for y'all brothers, please, you know, the way you approach a group of women, because you're right, you know, if you're single, disperse from your chick. Now, even before I was single, I mean, well, before I was married and all that good stuff, and after I got married and all that good stuff, I still hit the bar. You find me at the bar, not because I'm an alcoholic, because I see everything from the bar. I can't see nothing. I can't see who's walking in.
What
I can't see
for?
Who's sitting down.
Married.
Huh? I said after I got married and before I got married. You know, I mean, well, you know, I mean, I've been married several times, and I'm still married. I'm married to you, too. How about that? I'm married to everybody on the planet.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, no, but what I'm saying, who said, oh, Lord? No, but let me put this out here real quick. All I'm saying is, brothers, you have to approach with cautious because you have to look at the scene. Even if the chick is single by herself, right? I mean, there's a way. I always think a good question to ask a woman when you come up to her is, excuse me, like, what was the question, Alan? Are you looking to find a man tonight? I mean, say that first. Stop. Don't say, how you doing? Answer that. Come out with the right question. So she can say no or yes, and then you have a conversation. I ain't playing because I know it sounds crazy.
Your son, I hope you're not teaching you would never teach your son to go up to a woman and say, "Are you looking to find a man tonight?" What kind of desperate woman?
I'm just saying, but because you don't know, like men approach me, right? And I'm approached by, everywhere I go, I'm approached, and it just makes me. I'm approached pumping my gas. Like, good God, are you serious? I'm approached with my children. Are you serious? I'm just saying. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I think that brothers need to know when. And even in the club setting, you know, the chick might just want to just have a drink by herself. Damn her friends, forget them. Can I say damn?
I guess stop you again.
Okay.
A lot of stuff you're saying on the positive end, some of the stuff you're saying is valid stuff, but it's deviating from our topic.
No,
we're talking
not.
About how to help single women find Mr. Right. What do you want to know or contribute that would
okay,
help
I can answer that question. All the single ladies, let me tell you how you'll find Mr. Right when you become Miss Right. That's how you'll find him, period. You got to get your life right. You can't just think that every man is Mr. Right because you know you believe in him one night and you diss him the next. Come on, it's just too much of that. We too grown. We grown folks. We don't need to think he's the one tonight and he ain't the one in the morning. We got to stop playing Russian roulettes with ourselves. So we really have to get right. The way that the woman, and there are a lot of Mr. Rights, but he certainly ain't messing with you.
Okay.
Because you ain't right. I mean, it's all, you got to get right. And it ain't about finances either, even though that's part of getting right.
Well, I got to move on, but thank you, Don, for your
thank you, Alan. Thank you so much. What you say?
Right.
I missed that.
All righty. Thank you. All right. I'm going to take one more call before I take another intermission break, and then we're going to take another intermission so Dr. Tark can get a drink of water. But I'm going to go with area code 301, you're now upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, Dr. Aldewyn Tart, and I believe this is a fellow Blog Talk Radio host, Jason 69 Barnes. What's your question or comment?
I'm sorry, man. How do you follow that up? Don just ripped it apart.
Yeah, she's
wow.
A character. She's a fellow Blog Talk Radio host, too, listeners. If you're not familiar with Don, she has her own show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. She's always charismatic, and she always speaks her mind. So check out her show. But this is another one. But 6ix9ine, what's your question for Dr. Tart, or I'm sure you probably have a comment about what's been said so far. Ooh. What's your thoughts?
Man, I'm sitting here. I have this long laundry list of statements, comments, questions, and everything. But first off, I want to say, hey, big ups, ARC. I see you doing your thing, and mad props to you, man.
Thank you.
Hey, appreciate it, 6ix9ine.
All right. And Dr. Tart.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm blessed and highly favored, man.
Oh, Lord, you sound like my grandmother and whatnot. Blessed and highly favored.
That's right. That's right.
All right.
Hey, God's been good to me, man. I have no problem putting that out there, man. No problem.
Hey,
no shame whatsoever.
I feel you. All right. Now, you know, out of the way. So please forgive me because I disagree with a lot of what you have been telling these young ladies. Especially, and, you know, I'll try it. Alan,
okay, I'm for time's sake, I'm going to limit it to three things. What's three specific things that you disagree with
things.
That Dr. Tart said?
Women should make men wait. Alan, you know I have a problem with this from the first time I ever called into your show.
Well, actually, that was one thing I actually challenged Dr. Tart. So you and I both actually, but yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that either.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Tart, you know, God's honest truth, any man worth his salt and any man that is steeped in the game or he is in still in hunter mode, if a woman tells him that he needs to wait, only thing he's going to do is wait to get some ass because this is a mature show, right, Alan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Men, when we first meet women, even if we've gotten to the point where we're looking for Miss Wright or we want to go ahead and put a ring on them and all that kind of stuff because we've gotten bored with the hunt, men will sit there and wait it out and all that kind of stuff, but it never becomes more than sex. So what you're telling women to sit there and, you can't just give up the sex immediately.
Wait. So what you're saying is that men never get married?
No, I'm not saying men never get married. I'm saying men don't get married until they either get tired of the hunt, their options start falling apart, and they can't quite pull women anymore, or, you know, they get afraid somebody else is going to get their trophy, meaning women, they've been sitting over there playing, you know, getting the milk from the cow for free, and the woman gets fed up, and then it's like, well, hold on, this is a good cow.
Well, have to disagree on that one, because the married men that I talk to, they talk about a woman that is able to compliment them, the woman that's able to be the best mother, the woman that's able to make them feel more secure, the woman that's able to make him feel like a house is a home, you know. And most guys, as you know, 6ix9ine and Allen, we have a criteria about what it would take for a woman to settle us down. Now, there are some men that don't want to settle down. My advice to women is if a guy tells you he does not want to settle down, don't date him if you're looking for a commitment.
Wait. But you're saying, you know, nine times out of ten, most men are not upfront and straightforward when they meet women. You know, most men.
I disagree, 6ix9ine.
You
said 9 out of 10? 90% of men are dishonest.
Most times, brothers will say anything in order to get themselves laid.
Man,
you know,
let me
finish this thought. Men,
yes, sir,
dangle a relationship in front of women in order to get laid. Women will dangle sex in front of men in order to get a relationship.
6ix9ine, I definitely respect your opinion, and it's definitely valid, but, I mean, to be honest, I mean, from my opinion, I mean, to me, I mean, how much sex can you have? I mean, you get to a point where you have sex, it gets old. I'm looking for something that's much more fulfilling, okay? I'm looking for a woman that, you know, I look in her eyes, she looks into my eyes. We share all points of intimacy. I mean, we've done things together. I mean, it's not about just sex. I mean, I've had enough sex in my day, so it's nothing special about it. I mean, you know what it's going to be. The grass is not greener on the other side, and I think we probably would disagree about finding a soulmate. I do believe that there is a soulmate. I've been in relationships where I was like, man, this is what I'm talking about. You see what I'm saying?
Wait. You felt that way about, I'm assuming you felt that way about your wife, right, before you got divorced.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things.
It didn't work out. So what I'm saying is
that was a natural state for
men.
What I'm saying, and I'm looking to, you know, I'm looking to remarry, so obviously it wasn't that bad of an experience. You know, I won't get into my personal business out of respect for her, you know, and my child. I just won't do that. It's just not. But what I'm saying is that, man, I'm gonna be honest, I totally enjoyed marriage. I enjoyed the structure. I enjoyed a woman being able to share experiences with the different vacations, being able to look into her eyes, come home Friday and Saturday night, and enjoy a movie. And no one really enjoys a whole lifetime of never really being able to commit with someone and not find long-lasting commitment. The worst thing on this earth to me is an old, lonely man. No one wants to see a 55-year-old man up in the club.
I have to interject here real quick, Dr. Tarnay. That is true, because my brother used to be, I'm going to call him out, in his younger years, he used to be a major player. And now he's happily married. He just got married actually last year. And we were talking about it. And when I asked him, I said, you know, what made you make the transition from player mode to wanting to find a wife? And that's what he said. He said, one of my biggest fears, he said, I did not want to be, and I'm going to use the N-word, listeners, I don't want to be that 50-year-old nigga in the club. I don't want to be that 50-year-old brother with gray hair looking, hollering at 20-year-old women. He said, I never wanted to be that brother. And he said, that thought was one of the things that started directing me towards finding a wife and getting married. So I just wanted to add that in there.
I feel you on that. 6'9", man, what you looking for in a wife, man? Keep it real.
Keeping it real? You know, I'm actually in the same boat you are. I had a failed marriage, and all of it, you know, I that's why I didn't come at you saying, how are you going to give people advice on relationships? Because I understand you learn from your mistakes. But when it comes to what am I looking for in a woman and what, I'll say 8 out of 10, and maybe this one will work.
No, in a wife, in a wife. Yeah, in a wife.
or in a wife. You know, as you get older, when you get past the player in you, if you want to call it that, but that hunter instinct, you know, the spread your seed instinct that is naturally based in us, when guys get to the point where they don't want to be out there in the game anymore or their options become limited, you start, and this is me, you start looking at, all right, how much drama is she going to bring to my life? It's not about upgrading me. I'm cool the way I am. Women always want to change men, and I don't need to be upgraded. I need somebody to support. That whole helpmate thing, and this is one of my three questions, you know, Adam needed a helpmate. Adam didn't need a helpmate. He didn't ask for a helpmate. You know, God just said, here, I think you need somebody to help you, and then said, but all you can't, the only thing you can't do is, and I'm sorry, Alan, but the only thing you can't do is hit the punani. That's the tree of knowledge and everything, because every man that is listening and every man in here knows your entire life changes once you get some for the first time. Your entire life starts revolving around getting some. So, you know, the helpmate and everything, women aren't what they used to be. My grandmother was a strong, independent black woman, but she didn't have to tell everybody that. She didn't have to sit over there trumpeted to the heavens and everything. I'm strong and independent. I don't need anybody. So what I look for when I'm looking for a wife, it's somebody that needs me, not somebody that's going to tell me, I can do it all without you, but I choose to have you in my life. Most men need to be needed. And that's the main thing that a lot of women miss, and they want to be combative, argumentative, and they don't want to take a step back and play their role because they've been having to do it for so many years by themselves. This generation, you know, they've raised men that don't know how to be men. And you know, they just don't know what they're doing anymore.
Hold on. 6'9", I hear it in your voice, man. And we I think we've both been to the mountaintop and down. Here's the thing, though. But 6'9", I could hear it in your voice. I mean, you're a good brother, you know, and I think that maybe there was a woman that didn't value that. But please don't make her other women out there. There are other women that have no problem playing, helping you from the side. They have no problem taking a back seat. They have no problem supporting you being the biggest cheerleader. I talk to them every day, you know. They are ready to do that because they get to the point, and a lot of times it's women that have dogged over men. They've emasculated him, and they looked up and they said, man, I have a house, a huge car, and no one to share it with. I wish I could redo it. And 6'9", I'm going to go ahead and put this in, you know, I'm going to bless you with this. I'm just going to put it out there in the atmosphere. There's going to be a woman that's going to approach you that's willing to do all those things. Just make sure you're ready to receive her. You feel what I'm saying? She has no problem doing that. You holding her down, she's holding you down, and I completely agree. You said it better than I did. Men definitely need to feel needed.
Hey, I'm a 6'9". I know you probably didn't get to your third point. I'm going to have to, for the sake of time, we're running down to our last 10, 12 minutes. I want to take area code 614. 614, you're now upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, my guest, Dr. Aldewyn Tart. What's your question or comment?
I have a comment. I know you're used to the wifey being on here, but it's,
yeah, your wifey warned me you was calling me.
yeah, and I'm secretly a fan of the show. I like your format and everything.
Thank you.
But I got to comment tonight on this whole topic.
Okay, what's your thoughts on a single woman finding Mr. Right?
It's all perspective. The perspective is, if you were a hook in the club, I can't turn you to a housewife.
Okay, so but you believe you can't turn a hoe into a housewife?
You can't. It's impossible. But if I find you where I'm looking for you, in certain places, if we meet on common ground, if I'm in the club, you're in the club, that's what we both used to, guess what? That's what you're going to get. If I'm at a baseball game, you're at a baseball game, I meet you at a baseball game, that's what I'm going to get, somebody who loves common ground. But if I'm hunting and you just happen to be the prey that I'm hunting for, I'm in that hunt mode.
You know,
and when you're in that hunting mode, you can't find Miss Wright in that hunting mode.
Then Dr. Tyre, you can comment on this, but that's one of the things I actually tell a lot, both men and women, and I totally agree with that point. I tell people the best way to meet a partner, I'm not talking about just somebody for casual sex, but if you're talking about a partner, is to meet somebody through what I refer to as your natural course of action.
Absolutely.
The natural course of action. If you normally go to XYZ grocery store, there's a chance you might meet your life partner there. If you naturally golf, you might meet him on the golf course. If you naturally, I don't know, take trips to San Diego, you might meet him there. But I find when you go out of your natural course of action to meet people, there's a greater than 50% chance you're going to end up matched up with a person who's totally wrong for you.
Because where you're at, you're out your natural element, and you're comfortable in your element, and she's comfortable in her element. Her guards are not up. So y'all going to have that conversation that attracts a man to a woman and a woman to a man. It ain't about booty. It ain't about you got nice legs. It's about, hey, you swung that a little bit to the left or the right. Talking about golf. Your pitch was off, talking about softball. I mean, if you're just sitting down watching a basketball game, you're talking about Jordan. You're talking about LeBron James. You're in your natural element. Now, it may turn to something else. And most time between a man and woman who have natural chemistry, it do turn to something else. But if I'm looking for a piece of ass and you looking for a piece of dick, guess what? That's what you're going to get. And then you try to make it into something because you ain't had wrist crackers. You ain't had wrist crackers in a couple weeks, but all of a sudden you got some wrist crackers. Guess what? That's the best wrist cracker I've had in I don't know how long. That ain't love. That's fucking. That's grown people having sex. And then you want to turn to something that it ain't. That's what the most people end up doing. And then we want to call her out her name. We're going to call him out his name. It's a year or two down the line where that didn't work out. It wasn't a relationship from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we as men, what do? Oh, I hit that ass. Dog, inside, you know what you are. You scarred, you twisted. As a woman, what she do? That Negro ain't blasey blasey. She's scarred and she twisted. But when they get twisted with somebody that's as twisted as them, because what the comedian said? Find somebody just as effed up as you, and y'all have a happy life together.
Hey, I'm going to have to cut you off there, but, man, thank you for calling in. I appreciate you making your first call to my show, and much love to you and your wife. This is the husband of one of my most loyal listeners, Adrian, a.k.a. Diva 36, 24, 36. But thank you for calling in. I'm going to take one more call, I believe. I might squeeze in two, but I'm coming down to my last 5 to 7 minutes before I'm going to wrap up. Area code. You got one of them weird area code 111. You just listening or you got a question or comment?
Hey, man, how y'all doing?
Hey, how's it going? You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and Dr. Aldewan Tart. What's your question or comment?
You know, I really don't have a question, man. I just wanted to commend both of you guys. I know Mr. Dr. Tart, man. This is Mo Stiegel.
Oh,
what's going on, big time?
What's going on, man? I just want to say, man, you guys are doing a phenomenal job. And Alan, man, congratulations to you, and I commend you for providing a platform for great discussion, man. And you have a wonderful, wonderful guest to discuss this particular topic with. So I just wanted to say thanks to both of you guys. That's all.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that, man. I always go after high-quality guests. And Dr. Aldewan Tart, his resume speaks for itself. So, yeah, I'm always trying to inform my listeners, and the ultimate goal is to help people achieve whatever their dating and relationship-related goals and objectives are. But I really appreciate you calling in and giving us kudos on that. Thinking I'm going to take one more caller before I start wrapping it up. 347, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my special guest, Dr. Aldewyn Tart. What's your question and or comment?
What's good, Alan? It's your man, S. Dot, from the S. Dot Files.
S. Dot, what's happening, man?
Give me a quick question
or a quick comment.
All right, quick comment. To the brother who called in, I don't believe that, you know, a hoe can't become a housewife. I think that a lot of people are hating on hoes. Being a reform hoe myself, I think a lot of people are trying to arrest the hoe's development. A lot of people are acting like the hoe leaks. You know, they're trying to arrest the hoe's development and tell a hoe that just because she's in a hoe season, she can't graduate to a growth season. And that's not right.
Well, you know, I have to say this, S. Dot. Now that you mention this, I do have to say this. We do tend to universally say that comment, you can't make a hoe in a housewife. But I mentioned this on another show. I know porno stars who are actually married.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of invalidate that comment, you can't turn a hoe, because there are porno stars who are married. There's, of course, swingers who are married. And so there are women who've either had a promiscuous past or are currently promiscuous that are married. It's all about who you matched up with. Now, I would say if you're looking for the quote-unquote good girl, that what I call that proverbial good girl, then that's when I think that comment is valid, is that I don't think you can take a woman who has promiscuous tendencies and change her into a prudish good girl. That's
absolutely not.
Yeah, 99%
that's
not
going to happen.
She's in her whole season. I mean,
what about
so,
vanity?
No, I mean, listen.
Vanity from Princess Vanity?
Yeah.
Yeah, but she graduated from being a hoe. she got beyond her hoe season. So the man who's currently with a woman, if a woman is currently a hoe and you're looking for a housewife, then that's a bad look. But if the woman has been through her whole season and she's graduated to being a housewife, then that may be a good look for you.
Now, that's I'm going to steal that from you. I'm going to steal that. Graduated from whole season.
Now, let's get deep about it.
Because, you know, a lot of us as reform players, I used to suffer from whole self-esteem for a lot of years. You know?
Let me get Dr. Tart to comment on this. What's your thoughts, Dr. Tart?
Look at it, man. I mean, we're labeling. We're calling, you know, we're calling women this and we're calling women that. But the reality is, you know, women change. Women think that we want sex. Okay, so they're not necessarily hoes. You sit there and you talk to them. They're not just out for sex. They think that by giving sex, they're going to attract love, and they're trying the same thing over and over again. And sometimes instead of learning from their mistakes, they become more and more promiscuous. Maybe I need to do this. Maybe I need to do that. And then they develop try and become empowered and say, well, you know what, I'm just going to use him since he's going to use me anyway. Then I think once they get into some therapy or they get into a positive relationship or they change their life like Vanity that went towards Christianity, she started understanding what real love was. And she realized that real love and sex don't necessarily go hand in hand. So once she was able to find real love, like Vanity, like Mary J., who was not promiscuous but came from a situation of where she was domestic violence, someone that was promiscuous, you know, Pepper from Salt and Pepper, once they were able to find real love, they became less promiscuous. So we start talking about and calling women, you know, out their name and calling them an H word, but in reality, they are very confused about what real love is. They're giving a lot of sex, looking for love, and they're not getting it. And once they change to start realizing, you know, love has nothing to do with sex, they start to attract, like clockwork, a better man.
I agree with that totally. And on that note, please, Dr. Tart, tell my listeners how they can find you on the World Wide Web and also any, like, book signing events or projects, anything you might have coming up. Let them know right now.
Okay, cool. They can find me online at www.drtart.com. That's drtart.com. The ring formula is available right there for sale. I encourage, you know, everyone to try it. I'm not going to even brag about it. The book speaks for itself. Ask your girlfriends. Chances are they've read it, and they swear by it, too. What I have coming up, I'm doing a parenting seminar for talking to teens about sex partnering with a guy by the name of Kurt B. on a new book called Saving Our Daughters. It is for teen moms and preventing teen pregnancy. I have a lot going on. God is good. An article in Black Enterprise this month, article in Essence last month.
You in Black Enterprise this month?
Yeah, man. So
I'm in Black Enterprise this month.
Oh, see, that's why we on the same page. I know to hang with big dogs and just sit back and take the slack, man.
Hey, man.
If I hang with you and Mo, I just take the slack.
Dr. Tardude, it's been an enjoyable. I think you, even though there was one area where we kind of maybe disagreed, but you have broken some stuff down tonight. You're very thorough. You're very knowledgeable. I really appreciate having you on the show. And continued success to you. Listeners, next week, again, Hill Harper, and it's going to be tricky because a portion of the interview is going to be live. A portion is going to be pre-recorded. So Hill Harper, I'll keep you posted through Facebook and Blog Talk Radio how that's going to work because his schedule, I'm trying to work with his schedule. He's got a busy, challenging schedule. But thank you, everybody in the chat room, for coming in. Victorious, S.Fly, talk about it today. 6ix9ine, Sandy, Inexplicable, Miss Lirina, Miss Colleen, Miss Tripp, Lavologist, good to see you. Kimbera, lovely, 9780, Kiri Love, K-Digital, Hot Lady, A. Oh, man, who else I got? Glendon, Empress, Barbara, Della Vince, Don. Nick Don was a character. Diva, Cruiser 2, Choco Divine, Annie. I hope I didn't miss anybody. Have a safe and enjoyable weekend. I will see you next week.